As Diane was talking, you'll find out that I speak much slower than she does. We were here last week and decided that we were going to enter in to writing what we were thankful for. And we're missionaries. You're a missionary too. We came up with some similar items in the first 10. Running water, electricity, flushable toilets. I blame Wayne for the fact that we're missionaries. I was sitting right over there and Wayne said, "We're sending a team to Haiti. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to some people. Who is that?" And I heard a voice say, "Put up your hand." Now, he was sure that the Spirit was talking to the guy behind me. And I looked behind me, and there was nobody there. So being the obedient Christian I was, I raised my hand, hoping Wayne wouldn't see me. I see Norm, so I knew the money wouldn't come in. The money came in. I went to Haiti. Who wants to go to Haiti? I didn't want to go to Haiti. And I got there, and I knew before I left, I was coming back. See, God has a call upon your life. See, we give our heart to Christ, and everything that's His is ours, and everything that is ours is His. And I usually say when I was called to God, that's what I had. I had nothing, and He had everything. But you see, what His part of the bargain was, He had me. He said, "I'm giving you everything that I have, and I'm going to take everything that you have." Well, that's a good deal because He took our sins, took our poverty, took our depression. He took everything that we had. And then He said, "I have everything that you have, you." So He has a call upon your life. If you're a Christian, He has a call upon your life. I don't know what that is. When I got ready to go to Haiti to teach, I said, "Lord, what do you want me to teach?" He said, "First of all, tell them that I love them. Second of all, tell them I have a call upon their life. And thirdly, tell them now is the time. Now is the time." If you're sitting here today and you don't know what the call of God is for you, it's time to begin to search for that. I thought I knew what God's call was. I came and I was working at a TV station down there, so when I came, I hooked up with Bill and got into the TV ministry, and then I was a greeter for a while. Maybe that was a greeter first and then went there, and then I was an usher, and I was a Christian. I was doing God's work. And God said, that's not what I have for you. I'm glad that you took all those steps. And we all have to go through those steps. But God said, I had a call. I went and I talked to my mother and I said, when the missionaries came, they usually came in October, and did a presentation. I said, did I ever express a desire to be a missionary? She said, no. She said, you wanted to be a pastor. Boy, what a mistake that would have been. excuse me. Being a missionary is a snap. Being an evangelist is a snap. As Wayne says, blow in, blow up, and blow out. Yeah? And you don't have to handle any of the problems, none of the issues. My son Bob said, "Dad, I think you ought to be a pastor. I think that's the call on your life." I said, "No, I don't like people." That's not true. That's not true. I ended up becoming a psychologist or a psychologist in a couple of states. When I came here, they wanted me to take an exam and pay a lot of money and spend a whole year preparing for the exam. And I said, "What's the alternative?" And they said, "Well, don't call yourself a psychologist. That's what's licensed. You can do all the things." I was a Christian counselor. I did that for many years. I was called to exhortation. Exhortation is encouragement. And all of my previous life, most of it, I was an encourager. And I'm here today to encourage you. Romans 8:1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." How many people are in Christ Jesus? We're in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. The rest of that says, "Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." We are Spirit-led people. If you don't know what your calling is, then you need to get in touch with the Holy Spirit, because He definitely knows what your calling is and where He wants to take you. In my wildest dreams, I never wanted to be a missionary. I love the hot showers. I love cold water, you know, the refrigerator where you just stick it under and the cold water and the ice comes out. They have hot water. It's 95 degrees and your water is 95 degrees. We take a bucket of water and we pour it in a 5-gallon can, and that drips through a filter and out comes the clean water to drink. When I proposed to Donna, I told her I was going to take her on a Caribbean honeymoon for a whole month. She said she wanted to go to Haiti, so we went there and we stayed at a missionary's apartment. He had had a heart attack. An American cardiologist, a child, he specialized in children. He said he had a heart attack. A Haitian cardiologist said the man had a heart attack. He came back to the States, he went to the hospital. They had no evidence of a heart attack. And the heart murmur that he had had when he went, he didn't have. Does that qualify as a miracle? I think so. Anyway, we stayed in his apartment, their apartment, and we had running water. It came in usually on Wednesday. And the faucet, or the pipe, came out right there so you could put a 5-gallon can in. And we had 10 5-gallon cans. And when the water started running, the kids downstairs and the orphanage started screaming, and we ran and got our buckets, filled up 10 buckets of water, and that was our water for whatever. Oh, we had a well, but because it was so close to the ocean, it was salty. So we had to be careful with that. I often say, when I'm speaking in Haiti, "Do you know God loves you?" I didn't hear anything here. Well, let me put it another way. Honey, would you help me on this? Est-ce que vous connaissez bon Dieu vraiment ou en pire?
Do you know God loves you much?
Est-ce que vous connaissez bon Dieu vraiment ou en pire, en pire?
Do you know God loves you much, much?
Est-ce que vous connaissez bon Dieu vraiment ou en pire, en pire, en pire, en pire, en pire?
Do you know God loves you much, 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 much?
Do you know that? what I say, remember, there's no condemnation. What I tell the people is, I don't think so. And as I look around, I don't think a lot of you know how much God loves you. Because as I tell them, if you knew that, they would be lined up for the third service out there. Okay? But we walk around. We know God loves us through here. But we don't know God loves us through here. We don't walk in that. We don't embrace that. We don't call that into our lives every day. There was a pastor here some time ago. I remember talking about walking in fog. Walking in fog. The favor of God. When you have that attitude of gratitude, when you know that you're fully loved, you walk in the favor of God. 3 days after he preached that, I walked into the mobile station here, and I said, I'd like a cup of coffee. The guy put the coffee there, and I said, how much do I owe you? He said, it's on me. Now, the secret of this is when you receive favor to give God thanks. And the more you recognize that it's God who's doing that, and you give him thanks, you keep the flow coming. But if you just take it in and don't tell anybody, or don't even, if you're not even thankful, then that doesn't come. Ephesians 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, that phrase there, spiritual blessing, is the same that's used in the gifts. Where they're talking about the gifts. Those are the spiritual blessings that we receive. So we have spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want to point out to you first, we do not have a covenant with God. We don't have a covenant with God. Christ has a covenant with God. Therefore, the covenant is never broken, because God knows that human beings are not great covenant keepers. We break that. However, we are in Christ, because Christ died, and we're in him. That's where our part of the covenant is, in Christ. We don't have the covenant with God. Christ has covenant with God. And because of that, we share everything. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth. Now, I'm going to go off a little bit here, and I don't have specific evidence from this other than some words of scripture. He said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I believe we existed as spiritual beings in heaven or wherever before the foundation of the world was laid. We were then spiritual beings. We come here, and when we reach the age of accountability, we decide whether we're going to plug in and continue that spiritual relationship that we have with Christ, or whether we want to go our own way. Can you see me over here? I don't think so. Can you see me? I don't think so. I am a spirit. What you see is the house I live in, my earth suit. I have to have this earth suit in order to live here. And if I die, I don't die. It's the building that's dead. And I'm a spirit. Well, I was a spirit then, I'm a spirit now. And now my spirit is linked with the Holy Spirit. And so I'm revived. I'm renewed. When you are born again, it is only the spirit that's born again. It's not the body. The body constantly wars against the spirit. It's not the mind, will, or the emotion, which is the soul. That wars against the spirit. Our job, if it's a job, our responsibility is to bring everything in our life under control of the spirit. That's a job. It's a task. It's not an easy task. But God has made the way to do that. And that's through the Holy Spirit. And that's being aware of the Spirit in our life on a daily basis. Now, that's because for a long time, before I really realized that and was able to begin to put that into practice. And I'm still working on the task. Now, I like basketball. And sometimes I like to watch basketball when I should be doing something else. It's not wrong to watch basketball. I don't think so. But it's only when I've got other things all pulled together. Purdue was on basketball, was on television yesterday. It's my favorite team. And I was working on the message for today, and I kept going out and taking a peek at it. What I do is I have a DVR and I record it. That way, if we lose, I don't watch it. You know, I'm at the age where I'm too excitable. Too much excitement's not good for me. It is how we walk. See, it begins early in the morning. When you get out of bed, what is your attitude? What are you going to do? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but how many people journal? How many people get up in the morning and begin to write and say, thank you for the evening, rest, Holy Spirit, what would you say to me today? I would encourage you just to go home tonight or today and write, or just sit there and say, God, what do you think of me? And get your pen and paper out and write. And you'll be surprised. He loves you. He's not going to say, well, you know, and last night and 2 weeks ago. He loves you. What he's going to say is, I love you very much. You're deeply loved. You are blessed. You are highly favored. You know, we say that, how are you? Blessed and highly favored. Well, that's just a routine. But if you take it to heart, you really are blessed and highly favored. But you need to confess that. Whose ears are closest to your mouth? Yours. And it hears everything you say. Every confession that you make. Your ears hear. And it begins to believe what you say, what your confession is. And if you have a bad confession, you have a bad life. Because you're putting the wrong things in. 8 glasses of water. 8. Not a problem for me. Problem for you? Okay. The water that goes in goes to your major organs first. And if you don't drink enough water, the rest of your body becomes dehydrated. I learned while I was bicycling, as they call it down south, that if I didn't drink enough water, that my knees began to hurt because they weren't getting enough fluid in there. But you see, the other things that we put in our mouth, put in our mind, are things that really, really hurt. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful who we listen to. Okay? I read something yesterday said, what you said would probably really hurt me if I valued your opinion. Think about it. Okay? Consider the source. You're bigger than that. You're loved. You're stronger than that. Whose opinion do you value? Like that, was it 50 comes through? He's a cat that's posing as a mouse and his nose falls off and he said, who are you going to believe, me or your eyes? Who are you going to believe? You know, I like to be liked. I think most of us do. I only have to please God. That's all I have to please. If I leave here today and they say we never want him back again, hey, that's okay. Yeah? I got to handle that. No problem. Was I pleasing to God? And you know, that doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Yes, I want to please God. All my sins are forgiven. God loves me unconditionally. Whether I mess up here or mess up there, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Get that in here. Understand it. Walk it. Talk it. Live it. Because it doesn't matter. The Creator of the universe loves me. What can man do? Paul says, whether I stay or whether I go, I'd rather go. But for your sake, I'd stay. Does it matter? Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. God hates sin. Am I a sinner? No. That was my old nature. Do I sin? Yes. I'm forgiven. That's not my new nature. My old nature is gone. If you've been baptized, it's under the water. It's been buried. But the psalmist says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, I liken that to, I walk and I stand and look at it and I continue walking. In my daily life, I may trip and stumble, but I don't fall. But the second part of that is, he doesn't stand in the path of sinners. I can walk by and see something, but when I stand and I look at it, the next step is to sit and be part of that. So if we watch where we walk circumspectly, we won't fall in to sin. But you remember, our nature isn't to sin. We have a new nature. As I was preparing this, my wife said, oh, I have something that you ought to read. And this was from Copeland, right? Who? The first one. Okay. a covenant of grace. That's what you and I have with the Almighty God. Now, I don't think that's a covenant that we have. I'd have to disagree. We're under grace, and we're in Christ. So Christ is the covenant and our covering. But he said, if you could grasp the significance of that, you'd never be the same again. It's a relationship of favor that gives you access to somebody else's power. An illustration of this covenant of grace is the covenant of the old Sicilian family members. The relationship they had with the godfather of the family. In that group, a weak person might come in and ask the Don for a favor. The Don will say, I will grant this favor, and I'll ask a favor of you. When the time comes, I'll collect it. Well, the person who went in knows that he's going to be protected now because the head of the family has said he's going to protect him. And he also knows that when it comes time for the favor, the head of the family is also going to know his situation, and he's going to make it in such a way that that person is able to meet that. It's our relationship that we have with God. The covenant is with Jesus, and we're in Jesus. We've made a commitment. And he said, okay, I'll cover you. I'll protect you. I'll be your back. I've got you. And then when he asked us to do something, you know, he's already greased the skids. He's already put it into motion. I used to worry when I went down to Haiti about I'd have to do maybe 5 or 6 messages, and maybe I'd have to meet during the day and do some seminars, and I'd prepare whole bunches of stuff. And when I got down there, the Holy Spirit just said, just move your mouth. Move your mouth, and I'll take care of everything. Such a deal. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't prepare. What he tells me over and over is, prepare yourself, and I will give the message. You just open your mouth. I have notes here that I could preach until 5 o'clock, but that's not going to happen. I used to have an Indian alarm clock. And that means, depending upon what time I wanted to get up in the morning, that's how much water I drink the night before. All right? And I have a speaking time clock. And that means I speak until I'm hungry. And then I'm ready to go with the rest of you. I used to say, we'll beat the Baptist to the buffet. I was preaching in England. I said, we'll beat the Baptist to the buffet. And I looked and I realized they were all Baptists. I was in the Baptist. But we did beat them to the buffet. We beat the other Baptist. So, I don't believe in a lengthy message. Here's one from Joseph Prince. One of my all-time favorite faith images is found... I didn't quite get there. Would you let me read it right now? As you read it, may the Lord paint the picture of faith in your heart of the blessings that you are meant to enjoy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm walking with pretty good people, you know? Yes. Instead of seeing the negative depictions of the world, you can see yourself like a tree planted by rivers, not a river, rivers of water. What a beautiful picture of constant provision with rivers of water refreshing you all the time. If that river dries up, these four are still running. If these three dry up, one is still running. Rivers of water. You don't have to fear the reports about new strains of diseases, terrorist attacks, economic downturns, because whatever may be happening around you, even if there is drought in the rest of the land, you are that tree planted by rivers of fresh flowing water. And don't miss this detail. You did not just randomly grow by the river. Somebody planted you there. The psalm goes on to say that you will bring forth fruit in season. See yourself not being barren in any way, but fruitful in every area. Your finances, your body, your ministry. See yourself with leaves that shall not wither. Instead, they shall be perennially green. You know all about this stuff, don't you? So, all about this stuff. Full of sap. Oh, yes, that's what it says. Yeah, perennially green, fresh, and full of sap. What this speaks of is that you'll always be young, strong, and full of life and energy. The Lord will cause your youth to be renewed like the eagles. Leaves in the Bible also speak of healing. Revelation 22:2 says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This means your health will be evergreen. It will not fail. Attacks may come, but it will not fail. Stumble, but you won't fall. Psalm 1:1-3 doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, whatever he does shall prosper. Whether you're a judge, nurse, homemaker, business person, student, banker, whatever you do shall prosper. Time for the praise and worship team to come, because you guys don't sound as excited as you were earlier. That's exciting news. Prosper. Prosper. What does that mean? Get along? Meet my needs? God said he'll meet all my needs and some of my wants. Wow. Wow. You know what it means when a speaker looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. In just a few words, this is giving you a picture of the blessings he has for you. Whatever circumstances you may be facing in the natural, let the word replace every negative expectation with a positive expectation of good because of what Christ has done for you. I said, God loves you. Bon je ramamuam pio. Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit is there in you. Guide you every step of the way, every day, all day. Never shuts down. Always online. Power is always ready. You have it.